Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 120 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment talk and then move over to our heavy tech segments covering the new Comcast data caps, Amazon's new sidewalk feature, a ransomware attack affecting a major city school, and then some robots taking everybody's jobs. There is a lot to get through. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and episode 120, we're in the, I guess, that middle ground there between being turkey fat from Thanksgiving and ramping up to the holiday seasons here.
Yeah, I still think I got the itis.
I'm all leftovers out. Everything's done. Thanksgiving is 100% behind me now.
Yeah, fire up the Christmas music, blow up the inflatables, turn on all the lights. It's the holiday spirit. We brought out even the elves already. They're already running around my house.
Oh yeah, for sure. The elves go flying out. Everything's decorated. You know, the unspoken competition. I'm definitely like the Griswold family on the block in the unofficial competition against all my neighbors.
Yeah, I was full Clark Griswold on the roof this week also.
But we can jump into some news here and start in our normal entertainment. Nothing really coming in the front of, I guess, movies or anything when it comes
movies,
to...
Movies? What's a movie?
Yeah. nothing in that world.
You mean the stuff that streaming services put up that aren't in episodes?
I mean, that's all we get these days, and it really not even much new. I don't know. Is there anything that you're watching on Netflix or Hulu, HBO Max, Apple TV? So, I can just keep going if you want me to list all of them.
HBO came out with a slasher thriller called The Attendant with Kaley Cuoco from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I figured, you know, she's trying to keep a career going. I figure I'd support that and see what that'd be about. What else have I been pounding out? I do have a small spot for, like, trash reality TV. So I'm a big Below Deck fan. I've been, I'm mid Below Deck season right now. Like, gotta love that. We got the Mando. You know,
That's the only
team Grogu.
that's I think the only thing I'm watching consistently right now is as that comes out. That's my hour a week. Not even, what is it, like, yeah, 35 minutes or something a week.
Ahsoka. Ahsoka was like one of the top Googled terms this week for sure. Clone Wars and Rebels is getting, you know, massive amounts of streams from plebes that just got into Star Wars. Like, who are these characters? Why? What's a white lightsaber?
So yeah, that show I think is... it's still chugging along. I think it's a great addition to the Star Wars properties, and it's better than anything else they've come up with recently.
My girlfriend's dying inside because, like, they put This Is Us back on TV, gave you like 2 weeks, and then they took like a 3 month hiatus. Like, they gave her like
for COVID filming.
Yeah, they gave her like three episodes, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll be back next year. Like, we'll be back after January." So she got all geeked for her weekly cry sessions, and then they were just like, "Oh yeah, like, no, we ain't coming back for a while."
So a weird show that I've watched all the way through is The Blacklist. I've watched that show. And this, I think yesterday, I just watched what was the most recent episode, finally caught up to it. And I didn't realize it, that they ended the season in their season finale. Like, they partially filmed their season finale before LA shut everything down or New York shut everything down. So they had, some of the episode was filmed, and then some of the episode was them doing voiceover with like actual, like,
stop,
comic-y type animation.
Stop.
Of the characters. So it's like this actual like drama show, and 70%
of it in the blanks with an animated comic.
Them doing voiceovers over animated comics, and
stop
the rest of it. And then it would transition to them like doing the live acting of the scenes that they actually did get to film before shutdown. It was the weirdest the weirdest thing I've seen on TV in a while.
I know. I honestly have to say, so like even This Is Us did it when they came back. I was watching with her, and like even the TV shows are full COVID. Like, and I understand like some, you know, like TV, you want like grounded in reality because it makes you bond with characters more and you get it. But like, I don't need my TV that bonded to fucking reality. Like the 1 hour a night I tune in to watch my show to get away from the shitty mask filled world that we all live in. Like, do I really need to see how you're coming to terms with like every fictional character I know? I realize how they've come to terms with COVID. All these made up people that have no risk of no virus. You're not real. Like, but I know exactly how you would react if there was ever a fictional virus in your world. Like, oh my God, I'm so dispensed with it. I'm done.
Yeah. All right, I'm done too. So right,
that's our vent, folks.
And that's our weekly therapy on COVID's impact on entertainment. And we can transition over to a little bit of video gaming here. And, you know, really, we've got the Xbox team, or Phil Spencer, you know, the head of Xbox. He came out this week and talked about how Xbox soon may just be an app on your TV or streaming stick or some version, and just talking about the X Cloud and the plans for that.
I mean, you know, like they're still holding on to this cloud gaming. I'm in this Facebook like dad gamers group, you know, all those old people just bitching about video games and how we never have time to play them. And one of the dads in the group asked about like Stadia. It was like, hey, I just picked up a Stadia. What's everybody think about it? And I was like, throw it at the wall. and everybody starts commenting, like, what's your problem with Stadia? I'm like, I had that shit at launch. This shit's trash. Like, you can't really game with it. They're like, oh, it's come a long way since its launch. Like, it's actually kind of fun to play and da da da. And I'm like, are we all talking about the same thing here? Like,
so I mean, you really haven't picked it up since launch, though.
I did. Go to pick it up the other, like a couple months ago, and like I said, if I wanted to play the games I owned, I had to give them the $10 for the month, and I was just like,
yeah,
nah, like, nah, I own this game. I don't need to rent. Like, that's the model I really don't like about it, is that you pay $60 for a game, but if you want to play it, you better keep giving Google $10 a month.
Yeah, and that's the benefit that Xbox would have, like rolling out this the X Cloud. You know, they're talking about they still want to have this cloud gaming thing. And even Phil Spencer talked about in this press release and in this interview, he talked about the fact that xCloud is not going to replace consoles. They do not believe that this is the last major piece of hardware that they put out, that in the next couple of years, cloud gaming is going to dominate and you won't need a console in the future. But he does believe it's got a strong future within their model as an additional component, as another way to game, something maybe tied to like Game Pass, which would be something that, you know, Stadia doesn't have.
Well, and that's what Xbox is really good at, right? Like, they don't just focus on one broad core audience. Like, they find ways to include even some of the smaller pockets with their controller that they developed for, you know, disabled people to be able to play video games. That was really groundbreaking. They really are like the all-inclusive kind of like home for gamers, to whereas Sony, I think, just worries about their core, you know, major market, and they'll pick up the little stuff that works after Xbox works out the kinks and the programs on it. So them adding cloud gaming, I think, just kind of broadens that spectrum, you know, like, but as a whole, I don't ever see cloud gaming coming up until, you know, high-speed broadband internet is like a given in your house, not like a luxury. And it's still a luxury for a large portion of the country. And in a multi-billion-dollar industry, you're not going to sacrifice that large of a market share because they don't have good internet, which Xbox can't control. So until Microsoft starts putting fiber optics in everybody's fucking yards, they're you know, they can't focus heavily on it.
Yeah, I think Microsoft has the better approach, and I think that they have the infrastructure to make it a real shot for cloud gaming, to progress cloud gaming. You know, we were both very excited for Stadia and for this concept of dedicated cloud gaming services like Stadia. And in execution, just it didn't pan out. I still don't think Stadia is dead, and I don't think, you know, obviously people don't think is dead because you still have Amazon developing Luna as a cloud gaming platform honestly, dedicated through Amazon.
Some people obviously have faith in it. Maybe they're just privy to you know, seeing further in the future than we are, you know, but I mean, I like it as an option for like traveling. Like I can just throw a controller and a Fire Stick or whatever into my luggage and then plug it into any hotel TV, any Airbnb and pick up my games there. It might not be the same quality as my Series X at home or anything like that. But if I'm in the middle of a game and that I really want to keep progressing in and I got to travel for work, makes it really easy to just bring your console with. But they also have PCs. So if you got a laptop, what do you, you know, like it's another option. I don't know how big of a, you know, draw it is or how many people are actually going to utilize it. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. And then the next, you know, article that we were looking at this week for video games was that Square Enix is still trying to save Marvel's Avengers, one of the bigger flops in like big video game studios, huge title, this Marvel Avengers game that lost money in a pandemic. Like there could not be a greater failure for a video game. And you've got Avengers now hoping to save itself through some updated DLC. And, you know, we'll see if it can revive itself.
I read the whole article. And when it said DLC, I'm like, do they want me to spend more money to make their game better? Like, is that what they're hinting at right now? Like, you put out a shitty game, so I should give you more money to make the game I bought better? Like, I hope that's not the plan they have, because I don't see that working out too well for them.
Yeah, and it's not. So Avengers was always branded as this, you know, big game that was going to have progressive DLC, and it was supposed to be free content added to it. So that was supposed to be one of the big draws for it. So they're hoping that still is a draw, that, you know, some of these new characters that they're rolling out now, the new storylines that they're rolling out now, I guess in early 2021, they're going to have some big Hawkeye's going to become available, and there's going to be a whole new storyline going with Hawkeye and Maestro. I think Spider-Man's becoming available and a storyline dedicated to Spider-Man. So the game is going to continue to expand on itself. And I guess they're doing even like exclusive content. It said in there that Spider-Man and Black Panther are coming, but Black Panther's only available in PlayStation 4. And I was just like, get the fuck, get out of here. How did you, you went exclusive within your game and within your DLC on a failing version of a game.
Where's all the woke get Xbox players at? You need to get that Black Panther over to our side too. Yeah, I'm sure we could find some identity politics topic to sway them over to be like, all right, you can all have it. But like, I actually own the game, you know, and graphics are good. It's kind of fun to play. I wouldn't say it's a bad game. It's just, it's confusing at times the way the gear system works. They say it's co-op, but it's not co-op until you beat the game. So when I convinced Rami to buy it, so then we were like, all right, let's start a game together. Let's play. So then we tried to like join each other's party and we couldn't. And then once we went to like the multiplayer part and we joined each other's party, it's like, all right, you guys are about to go in the world and play together, but it's going to be post the entire campaign. So like, it's going to be nothing but spoilers as you play together. So we're like, well, shit, I guess we both got to play the single player version first before we play this multiplayer. And neither one of us have finished the single player yet. So like the whole purpose of us buying it was so we could play this Avengers game together and do some cool RPG style like gaming. And then it was like, yeah, nope. Like it was really confusing how they marketed it. I think they just had a really bad rollout. You know, they're hemorrhaging money from it.
No, I'm sure it's out on some Black Friday sales, and they got some new DLC.
I want to say it's half off on Xbox right now. Like, you get half off.
Wouldn't be surprised. So maybe somebody will pick it up who really wants to play these new storylines. And
I don't. The only hope for the game is that it is expandable. I still don't think this is as big of a flop as Anthem was, though, because I still have Anthem.
Yeah, probably not.
And like that was a horrible fucking flop of a game, and I had so much promise for that game.
I just think if you take probably the biggest recognized franchise and you launch it in a pandemic when everybody's home and everybody just still said nope.
Yeah, if you got to twist people's arm to play as Captain America, what the fuck did you do wrong?
That's where I say this is a bigger failure.
Like, I can be the Hulk, and I still don't play it. Like, and it's so funny because like I'm playing as the Hulk, I'm smashing mad shit, and then it's like here are these bracers you get to wear. It's like Hulk don't wear bracers.
Hulk doesn't need bracers. Hulk smash. Yeah, like,
what the fuck does +2 stamina do for the fucking Hulk? This is bullshit. Like, it makes no sense. This is weird.
I can't imagine like the actual people who have written these comics and like written these characters in Hulk or whatever else, if they picked up this game to play it and it's kind of like, oh, Hulk's not strong enough to go there yet, buddy. You've got to go find yourself a new pair of pants.
I know. Like, got that upgraded chest piece for the Hulk. Now I can finally, you know, I can finally beat that boss now that's a higher level than the fucking Hulk.
Like, all right. Well, let's move over into some actual real tech news here. And you know, we talk about gaming and cloud gaming and everything else. Well, here's a wrinkle in maybe some of those plans. As Comcast right now is looking to impose an internet cap on all home internet of 1.2 terabytes. And they're rolling this out in, it was like, I don't remember how many, it's more than a dozen states throughout the country. And, you know, maybe they're getting beat up with everybody staying at home using more and more internet. I don't know. But
honestly, like, this is like the corporate version of fuck your couch. Fuck your couch. Like, like, in a time where people have, like, clung to the internet for any kind of sanity whatsoever, Comcast is like, now we gonna cut your shit. Give us the monies. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much I use in the internet, right?
Like, I do.
I've never looked at my monthly usage. Do you?
So I
threshold cut, so, over 1.2 so terabytes?
I cut the cord a long time ago and went only internet and for live TV and everything. And this, during that time, my plan for Comcast was at 1 terabyte, not 1.2, 1 terabyte. I went over at least every month for like, you get for an extra $10, you get like an extra 500 gigs. I would have to pay at least $10 every month. I would go over at least by a few hundred gigs and have to pay that $10 fee. And that was at one terabyte flat. And that's with me just like, you know, streaming Netflix movies, watching live TV on Hulu, like a little online gaming, you know. But if you have regular cable and you just use the internet for Netflix and stuff, you might be all right. But the fact that I had watched all my live TV through Hulu, technically that's streaming too. Yeah, I push that terabyte every goddamn month. So I ended up upgrading my Comcast speed. And when I upgraded my Comcast speed, it came with unlimited. So,
well, I don't know. I don't think Illinois is on the list. So I think you're safe for now. Illinois is not getting capped, but
motherfucker, I just told you we had a 1.1 terabyte cap. Like that's yeah. their standard. Well, that's their standard fucking package here.
Yeah, that was a part of your plan, but they're looking to cap all customers, all Xfinity customers, and what you had before, they would just no longer have an unlimited plan at all. 1.2 terabyte is the cap.
I pay a lot of money for my internet service to have the 450 megabytes a second speed and the unlimited. If they just say like, oh yeah, we're going to take that unlimited away from you, I'm raising fucking hell. I'm raising fucking hell.
Yeah, you're raising hell to no avail, as there's not going to be anybody else you can go to or switch to, because
I'm gonna tweet the fuck out of Elon Musk to get this goddamn Starlink up and running, you motherfucker. Give me options.
But, yeah, it's an interesting play to do in the middle of a pandemic. It, you know, they're saying based off of like their data, 95% of the customers don't even come close, don't exceed 1 terabyte. The average usage of the states that they're capping, the average usage of a home in those areas is 308 gigabytes a month. That's probably about like what I use. I really, you know, I don't use the internet all that much, not for anything heavy. So I probably fall in that category. But yeah, it's going to negatively affect some. like people who are home all day watching live TV and are cord cutters and heavy gamers and stuff like that.
And that's why I think they're attacking because the average person has cable in some form, so they don't watch their TV through streaming. They're only streaming a few movies and TV shows at night most of the day when their local news is on, or their, you know, whatever regular TV shows they watch live, or, you know, sports and stuff like that. That's going through their cable, so that doesn't count towards their data package. This is for sure 100% attack on cord cutters, for like blatantly an attack on cord cutters.
Well, it's coming to, again, to several states here. We'll start rolling it out here soon, like Connecticut, Delaware, Massachusetts, Maryland. You know, mostly it looks like it's primarily just the East Coast. You know, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. All of them rolled in there. So this is an East Coast rollout at first, with the addition of Ohio. I guess not East Coast, but the rest of all of them are pretty tied to the East Coast there. So good luck. hopefully you're not one of the top 5% users and are going to start paying an additional $10 for every 50 gigabytes over 1.2 terabytes.
Oh, Jesus, that's rough.
50 gigabytes. You only get $10 to get you 50 gigabytes more. That's nothing.
So rough.
All right. And then to talk about more companies doing shady things, let's talk about Amazon. And we've got Amazon took some backlash this week for what's being unveiled as their sidewalk feature. And this is something that isn't out yet, but it is something that Amazon is now admitting to the fact that they're working towards this, and that it's an automatic opt-in. So for all the Amazon devices, and we're talking about, you know, any Alexa-enabled device or, and literally my...
I just heard your Alexa go off.
My speaker goes off. So well done. Yeah. Well done, Amazon.
Way to give Bezos a preview of the show.
And so any device that's enabled, it turns into this, they're trying to mesh people's Wi-Fi together. So if your Ring doorbell can connect to your neighbor's Ring doorbell and they have a Ring doorbell or whatever else, it's going to kind of blend a small amount of bandwidth from everybody's network in order to extend the capability of all enabled devices. So that way, I guess somebody using a random Amazon enabled device on the street can borrow a little bit of your bandwidth, and it's supposed to help improve the performance of all devices when even your Amazon-enabled device doesn't need only your network. It could steal your neighbors as well.
Yeah, Bob's shitty Ring camera in connection to his shitty router can't borrow mine. Like, this is like
oh, yes, it can.
Yeah, no, that's not how this goes down. Like,
unless you intentionally go in and opt out of this program. And that's where, like, the significant privacy concerns are, is that most people, unfortunately, most people aren't going to listen to this podcast. Shame on them. Yeah. And
the amount of people still on TikTok blatantly says that.
So the vast majority of the people are just going to keep their devices on whatever the standard settings are. And that standard setting is to opt into this program. So you won't know it, but your neighbors are having a better experience through their devices by stealing a little bit of your bandwidth. It's not like it's a full network share or anything else, but this is the direction that they're going. And again, Amazon gives zero fucks about you or your privacy. This is not their goal. What they want is people to have the best experience with their devices, to sell more of their devices. And this absolutely will improve their devices. They will become more reliable when they can use five different people's networks.
My inner libertarianism right now is just screaming, socialism! This is bandwidth socialism!
Well, in bandwidth socialism, we'll all thank you for your terabyte internet. And
I didn't work my ass off all week for you to steal, you know, points on my bandwidth. Oh God!
But so this feature, this Amazon Sidewalk is not available now. It rolls out in the United States next year. Supposedly, they're going to start sending emails to people who have Amazon accounts or Amazon devices, and they're going to start informing people about this rollout and when it's going to happen. But again, you're going to have to manually go into your apps or your programs and opt out of this as of right now. Yeah. Unless enough people scream foul about this being an automatic opt-in that Amazon cares. But I'll go ahead and give you a spoiler here. they don't care. Like, there's no level of backlash that is going to get them to stop doing this. You know how many of these devices they just sold on Black Friday and Cyber Monday or whatever else? Like, what, are people going to stop using them? No, they don't care what backlash they're going to get. Yeah. People are going to still use them and love them. And this is it.
Yeah.
Opt out.
Yeah, I'm a Google Home guy, so I have the Google Assistant everywhere, and I'm sure this is the same shit.
Same shit.
I'm sure it's the same shit. Like, it's so hard to even, like, you know, we do so many stories about this shit. It's so hard to keep up with the amount of intrusions to my privacy that are going on a daily basis.
Yeah. You just try to be hopeful enough to know which ones are important or not. Like, but. Yeah, you just can't avoid it altogether anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Unless you're going to go full Snowden and take the microphone out of your cell phone and everything else and have to use external plug-in mics everywhere you go. Like,
I'm going back to soup cans and strings, motherfucker. That's the only thing I trust. It's the only thing I trust now.
So it's... I don't know. This is one I don't like. So I will spend the time. When it rolls out, I'll be sure to... give an update on this show here and give an update on when it rolls out, and I'll tell you how to opt out, because I'll figure it out and opt myself out of it as soon as it rolls.
Well, with the amount of stories we do on these things, it always just makes me wonder, like, you know, it's the same thought people have about the government. Like, if this is the stuff we know, imagine all this shit these things are doing that we don't know, that we probably won't ever find out because it is that good and that hidden. Like, this is the stuff we're just smart enough to find out about.
Yeah, and you've got to think, right, if Amazon's going to roll this out next year, it's not like you could just easily flip a switch in an existing device and it now has the ability to broadcast a Wi-Fi signal on top of receiving and everything else. Like, how long have they been building in this capability into these devices, knowing that one day, like, hey, you just bought something that has a capability to broadcast your internet signal somewhere else. We didn't tell you that. We're actually not even letting you use it to improve your own internal home internet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, technically, I should be able to use these enabled devices to mesh and make my own internet more reliable in my home.
Yeah,
but that's not their focus here.
No, instead, we're going to reach out to all your neighbors and connect all your houses. So if there's one data breach, well, you know, like, is it like, who's to say at some point in the future someone doesn't devise some way to infect one Ring camera, and because all the Ring cameras are bandwidth together and talking to each other, it just spreads like some actual real virus throughout everybody's goddamn networks. You know, we talk about it, you know, Internet of Things. Just last week we did a story on the Internet of Things security. Like, how does this make my network more secure? Like, when you're tethering my network to my neighbor's network just to, you know, improve efficiency of Ring camera awareness or whatever, like, it's so fucked up.
Yeah. Well, that's, like I said, I'll be sure to give an update as this rolls out sometime in 2021 is what the plan is. All right. And then we can move into our really only hacking story, but this was an interesting one that I actually just read about today. And this is Huntsville, Alabama City Schools. They had to shut down all of their school system in like a rolling shutdown. And this wasn't just
not
like,
for Rona.
Hey,
not for
send
Rona.
Everybody home, not for Rona, not for anything. It was because they got such an intrusive ransomware threat that hit their system that they had to tell every teacher, everybody, including this is a school district that issues laptops to students. They had to email all the parents and call all the parents and tell them, like, if you have a school issued laptop, if you have a school, if you're homeschooling, we don't care. Shut everything down. Disconnect your home laptops. Disconnect your school laptops. All the schools had to shut down. Had to send all the school kids home because their system was attacked by ransomware. And who knows what they're going to have to pay or what they're going to have to do here. But in the end, man, these ransomware attacks are like devastating to the systems.
And like,
how do they
pick Huntsville?
And this one said, and they don't care who it is. Like, grandma dying in a hospital, doesn't matter. They're gonna get you.
She better have a strong Wi-Fi password.
Like, kindergartners learning their alphabet, doesn't matter. We're gonna shut you down too. Like, zero ability to actually care about, you know, these essential elements of society. This is an interesting kind of phenomenon that, like, I'm fascinated by, which is why we're almost talking about whatever the recent attack is every other week or so. This one is another one that's just like how widespread it was across an entire school district. 24,000 students. 24,000 students are served by this Huntsville City school system. All of it shut down, including home-based learning and everything.
Yeah, like it's. I'm guessing that they just look for exploits wherever they are. They don't give a shit who's on the other end. If they see the exploit, they're just gonna grab it and hope to get some, you know, shake that tree and whatever falls out of it, that's what they take and they run, you know. So as long as they can to get to the tree to shake it, that's, they don't give a shit who it belongs to. They're just gonna shake that fucking tree.
Yeah, I know, you know, in this setting, I don't know who pays this ransom. How do they get by this one?
You know what I'm saying?
You know, this isn't Garmin getting attacked for their user data or whatever else. Like, in the end, how does this one resolve? Very, very curious on what that looks like. But as of today, they were shut down.
It's starting to feel like society has just become one blended, like, shitty TV show this year. Like, I feel like we're stuck in a bad episode of Utopia crossed with Mr. Robot, crossed with Grey's Anatomy, crossed with, like, there's just so much going on in 2020 that, like, maybe we are in a simulation. Maybe we are just the TV show for some higher being that, you know, we're in just a virtual reality world and we are just the... 2020 was the craziest DLC this game has ever fucking seen. Like, so we were Square Enix's Marvel, and 2020 was whatever's fucking plan to save this goddamn game.
So they threw coronavirus they
threw the Rona X pack in. Yeah. Spread in some hacker downloads. Like, this, like, society is just going so off the deep end. You know, the hacking is just getting increased every week, every month. It seems like we're, you know, last month we had, you know, 2-3 stories, and the next month it's 4-5 stories. Now we're having to sift through hacking articles just to see which ones are worthy to even talk about, because there's so many.
Yeah, it's definitely a fucked up year. And we're not even talking about politics.
Like, we avoid politics at all costs.
We try our best to keep that out of what we talk about here. So, all right, well, we can talk about a little more futurism, some other things that are on the rise and in our future, getting us out of 2020 here. And the last two articles we have are pretty much the same topic, just different versions of futurism here. And it's all about robots taking our jobs. There's a rise in job losses that are now permanently replaced by some type of machine.
Yeah, I'm making a production note that from now on we need to come up with some robots stealing your job intro. We do these stories so many times, like our Fuck China jingle, like that we manifested out of nowhere. We need some kind of intro to run these stories, because I feel like we're going to have one of these every month, every other month for the next 10 years, because this is just becoming more and more prevalent. It deserves its own robotic, give me your shit.
I don't know. I mean, it does. I think we are definitely on the edge of this, yeah, just becoming the norm of some other industry or whatever else, you know. I do believe, like, this one article is just talking about how the pandemic accelerated it, and absolutely,
100%,
100%, absolutely accelerated it. Right? When
are we losing profits? Why? Because the humans, sir, they keep getting sick. Well, fuck these humans.
Well, because these warehouses require lots of humans in close contact. Okay, well, just get rid of the humans, and then we're back in business, right?
Wait, do we need these humans? Well, not really.
On my logic there. Like, yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. You know, we look at, like, delivery bots that are delivering various things. You know, there's hotels using robots to deliver things to hotel rooms. You've got other versions of delivery bots. A couple weeks ago, we talked about, like, the apple picking drone that's being tested in some other country that you know has to be working its way over here.
The drywaller.
You know, yeah, the drywaller that we recently talked about. But in the end, like, the initial cost of teaching systems how to automate is drastically coming down. And as that cost...
As cost of living for humans goes up.
Yeah. It's like, you just have to recognize, like, if you do a job that requires you to do the same thing in a similar manner more than 3 or 4 times, like, that's called a repetitive task. Yeah. And that means a robot is going to take it from you.
Yeah.
At some point. It might be 20 years down the road. It might be next year. But it's going away.
Yeah. If you sit at a workbench and put together the same piece of thing over and over all day, you might want to start thinking about your future.
Yeah. And, you know, the big rise, though, is not those stationary jobs, right? It's the warehouse movement and these Amazon warehouses that have these ridiculous systems that can just map and move about freely all across an entire expanse of a warehouse. Like, it's no longer just stationary repetitive tasks, right? That's what we saw in, you know, automotive manufacturing in the 90s and stuff like that, where, you know, these big robotic arms, but they were all stationary. They only performed one task. And now we're definitely moving on to a more dynamic workforce, robotic workforce.
Yeah, it's you. And what's really weird is, like I said, how I said, you know, the cost of automating these robots is going down. Meanwhile, the cost of living goes up. So you have to increase wages to match cost of living for your humans. Like, you would think, as we have robots doing all of the shit that we need done, that you actually have to pay people to do, cost of living and life would get easier for humans. But instead, yeah, it's completely opposite. So we have things in this world that you can only get people to do if you give them money, so they do them. And we're replacing that task with robots that'll do it for free. You would think that would benefit human society as a whole. Like, oh, I don't have to pick up trash every day. We got robots to pick up trash. You don't have to pay me to pick up trash every day. All right, cool. I have now free time and capabilities to do better things with my life. But instead, no, it is like the most devastating thing that could happen to humans in society. It's really weird how that works out. There's got to be a better system to function this in.
No.
No, there's not. It's just not. Sorry to tell you.
There just isn't. And so in the end, we're just going to leave, once we replace those, we're just going to leave them essentially high and dry. You know, it's just like, you know, in the article that we've got linked to the show notes, it talks about, it was like 1,500 employees for like toll collectors that during COVID, nobody wanted to touch dirty money or whatever else. So they accelerated the timeline where there was agreements that they were going to just keep people as toll collectors for years still. And, you know, they had to send them home and they just quit. Like, how easy is it just put automated systems in place to collect money or to collect, you know, toll? So you got the New Jersey Turnpike and other ones that have now gone 100% humanless, and they've just said, yeah, they're never coming back.
Yeah.
Like, all those people who lost those jobs, all those union jobs that were collecting tolls, they're never coming back. Like, we've already put in the infrastructure to replace you. And it really took us only about a week. Like, it really wasn't hard.
It really wasn't that hard. We were quite shocked. We should have did this a long time ago.
and it specifically said that one of the barriers to them doing it were the unions. You know, there's plenty of states that don't have.
That's what we talked about last week also. Yeah, I said.
And once the unions, like, hey, your workers can't come to work, so we're going to do what we can to keep the roads moving, the turnpike operating. And then now it's kind of like, all right, well, we don't need you anymore. your union poll doesn't have anything for us here. So that was, you know, one of the many examples given as far as, like, hey, very specific ones that were affected by the pandemic that accelerated the timeline, because once you pulled the humans out, it forced their hand to quickly come up with an automated solution. And then why would you scale that? Why would you go back from that later?
I just had a really weird vision of, like, a future where we've replaced all the jobs with robots. Now robots are replacing you for the things you actually like doing. So now you go to the local pond to go fishing and there's just a robot there throwing fish at you. Like, we already caught him. Go away. But I like fishing. Like, no, we don't need you. Just take the fish. Go the fuck home. You go to the bowling alley, it's just robots in the aisles. Like, touch the ball, we'll throw it for you. Like, just blow on it. But I like bowling. Like, no, you don't get to bowl anymore. We've replaced you. We're better bowlers than you. Just sit down and watch.
Yeah.
Oh. I just wrote the shittiest aggressive Black Mirror episode ever.
I was just saying, yeah. And then the other article that we didn't talk about yet was again same vein, humans becoming obsolete in areas that we thought would hold out a little longer, like these incredibly impressive, like John Deere autonomous electric tractors that they're showing that have no place for a human to sit. But again, a tractor, it seems like that should probably be a human driving that thing. But the truth is it's a repetitive task. It drives the same loop, does the same thing.
Down the same path.
same path. Like, and it just performs one function.
Yeah.
Like, how hard is it to automate that away?
This is clearly not that hard.
John Deere's got prototypes and they're ready to do this.
This is my episode of Black Mirror adjacent. I know lots of Karens that like to go apple picking every season. They just got shut out. Like, nope. You get to the orchard, robots throwing apples at you. Get back in your car, lady. We don't need you here. Man, it's so true though. Like, people really, and I know this is kind of like down the political path, but like so many people really just don't believe that this is going to drastically change our society. Like, oh, robots are going to take all the jobs. Well, don't worry. You know, 300 million more jobs will pop up in this country. We'll all stay employed. Like, don't worry about that. For every one job a robot takes, there's another job that's just going to magically appear in this new automated society that we have. And it's like, what the fuck?
Like, hey, we're just all going to be podcasters.
Yeah.
Like, we're all going to be bloggers and podcasters. We're going to be fine.
Nope. We've done stories on self-writing robots. Like, they will take our job too.
That's true.
They will take our job too. There's computer generated faces and voices that will do this all. We'll be out of jobs soon.
It's 100% true. Like that next top 10, you know, air fryer list that you just pulled off the internet was probably written by GPT-3. Yeah. It was probably written by AI that could very easily scrape the top Amazon reviews, put it together, put some tasty language in there for you, and sell you an air fryer.
Yep. Yep. 100%, man. 100%. We're all obsolete. Like, we are the Betamax of species. Like, it was good while it lasted, folks. Here comes the VCR. Oh God, it's so bleak to actually think about. You know, like, my job won't be gone in my lifetime. Eventually, it'll probably be gone. But
I mean, I think it's cool. So I don't find it all that bleak. I just hope that society can adapt at least in a reasonable time frame. You don't need to. We don't need to make drastic changes today. But let's be honest in the conversations we're having towards these things. Like, let's at least understand where we're going.
You know, when the steam engine came out, more jobs came up. It's like, bro, like there's plenty to do then. Like
yeah. Cause the steam engine increased manufacturing capacity. So it increased jobs in the supply chain. Today, the supply chain still ran by fucking robots. Like, that next job is still ran by a robot. Like, that's the problem with relating this to previous examples of industrial revolution.
We were making innovations that still were human required. Like, you still needed a human in some aspect. We're now gotten to the point where we're not improving on design. We are eliminating humans completely. Like, the need for a flesh robot is done. It's all tin. It's all tin. Oh God. It's so bleak. Right. It's so bleak to think about.
Man, I didn't know you were going to go this dark. I would have found some article.
I know. We usually have a happy article to end it with.
I mean, I thought these were just cool stories about automation.
Baby Yoda's name.
Hey, welcome Grogu to canon.
In later news, 1.4 million puppies named Grogu this weekend. Oh. I can't wait because my daughter's eventually going to go to school with some kid named Grogu in Khaleesi, and I'm just going to fucking facepalm myself. Oh, man.
Yeah, this is about
true story. True story. Like, I have a 2-year-old. At some point, she will be in a classroom with a Khaleesi, a Grogu, a Mando.
I'm more looking forward to like that, like really skinny, just weak geek kid named like Khal Drogo. And you know, like he's just a disappointment to his father. Like, you know, there's no way he doesn't look in the mirror every day and just know that he's a disappointment. That like dad really thought you were going to be something else.
It's like having the last name Kent naming your son Clark, and he's just the glasses version. Like, he's never gonna be the football star. He's never gonna be, you know. I have a few friends that have like comic book names, you know, and they all say, well, we didn't name him after that. And it's like, yeah, but can you avoid that? Can you avoid that now, though? Like,
was the comic out before you? like you know, you might, it's kind of like, don't name your daughter Karen today. Like, you might not be naming her that kind of person, but yeah. Like,
thanks to 2020, Karen went the way of Hazel and Beatrice. Like, you ain't never going to meet another bitch named that no more.
Yeah. You're not going to find too many more Adolfs running around.
No.
Karen's on that level. Like,
the lack of Adolfs. let's get out of here
on some chuckles. Thanks for listening. That's a weekend news. Episode 120 done
in the books.
Take a moment, join us, like us, subscribe, do those things,
share with friends.
We appreciate it. Just share with friends. Let's have some laughs together. And
if not, don't worry, we'll be here next week. It's all good.
Yeah. We'll beg again next week. But until then, thanks again. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.